The resegregation of students with special needs is just one consequence, I should say, of the accountability agenda, and it's certainly a social justice issue, and I think that with that, we should call on our president, Ginny Sims, to conclude our day.
Well, as a number of people have said, what a rich dialogue and a conversation that we've had over the last little while. And what's been exciting for some of us is we see many faces here who we don't see at when we bring the presidents together, though some of your faces are the same, and we love seeing you anyway, but also that there are teachers who've attended this because you had an interest in coming and getting engaged in this dialogue. That's great. You need to know that there was a fair bit of media today. How much coverage it will get, we do not know, because the floods and snow seems to be of a high interest out there. And this was a forum that approximately 100 of us, at the beginning of the day anyway, approximately 100 of us were here to talk about teaching and learning. And it was in place of the Congress that is going on over there. And what we did was we took a look, and I think it would have been very easy to have come here and just whined. It would have been very easy because every one of you could have taken an hour and told us about all the horrible things that are happening, about class size, class composition, lack of support for special needs kids, the segregation, lack of ESL, etc., etc. And we know all of that is true, and we've already given the Premier binders and binders and binders of that material, and as the class size data is coming in, we'll keep giving them more, and we actually have stories that we share with them as well. So we have lots of that. And what I was excited about is that we talked about what it is to be teaching and learning today, what it is to be a teacher and a professional in this environment, what are the challenges that we're facing as teachers, what is it that makes an educated person, and what is it in the curriculum and the learning environment that will help us to foster that, knowing that there is no one definition. And that's one thing we do know as teachers. And out of the dialogue came, I think, a message across to me, we've had enough of talking. Where are the actions? We don't need to convince each other of how terrible the testing agenda is, or how terrible the narrow education policy is. So what are the actions? And it must be put into the context of a coherent plan. And I want to remind us a little bit about our coherent plan, which, as you know, is always in evolution. Remember, we started to talk about the testing agenda quite a few years ago. And we did that work in our communities. Then we invited Alfie Cohn to come to our summer conference. And that enriched our discussions. And Alfie Cohn, since then, I think, has been adopted by BC. He's been up here 3 or 4 times since then to talk about that. We held a conference last weekend where we invited parents, trustees, teachers, and others to come and talk about the testing agenda and the damage it does to our learning. And we've got wonderful policy in our books, which we absolutely believe in fervently. But the challenge to us is, so what are we going to do about it? And the RA this last weekend passed a series of motions which are going to come to your local, which is going to say, what level of action do we support as professionals? And in January and beginning of February, the Rep Assembly will be taking a look at that. Do we just say we're not going to do the FSAs? If they're that bad for our kids, why do we keep on giving them? So all of those things, and it is part of an overall plan, but little bits of it happen all the time, and we need to keep developing and building our plans. You're here today because you were selected by your peers. And that's quite an honor, to be selected by your peers to come and speak about what is really important to all of us. And you came here because you had some concerns about the directions and policies that impact on teaching and learning. These are some of the thoughts that we pulled together from the day today. This was an opportunity for us to exercise our voice here. And the challenge I'm placing for you now is what are you going to do about the conversation today when you get back to your community? What are the three things that you're going to do to share this information with teachers in your community? What are the three things you're going to do to advance this dialogue with parents and with trustees and with others in the community? What are you going to do in connecting with the politicians about your experiences here and of what we have learned and what we need to do? What are the things you're going to do in connecting with the media to let them know what today was like, etc., etc.? So those are some very concrete challenges, and as you, if you're going back to your hotel room, I'm going to suggest you make some commitments. If you're driving, I just want you to think about them and wait till you get home before you start writing those down. And one of the things that's come through over and over again are relationships and the lack of respect there is for teachers and the teaching profession. And what I found is teachers can take a lot, but when there are attacks on our profession, on our integrity as teachers, we have this visceral reaction to it. And how do we channel that reaction into turning things around? We don't have to worry about the respect the public has for us. The polling and focus groups we've had over and over again show us that the public supports us. And our civil disobedience last fall also showed the public supported us, because all of you were 10 pounds heavier at the end of our job action because of all the donuts and the other goodies that were delivered to you. So we know that's there. And I think the respect we're talking about, it's not this need to be acknowledged. What it is when those who are in positions of power decide to silence our professional voice, or they try to demean it by saying it's just the union, it's just the politician, it's just the activist, or they're just pulling the BCTF line. So it's how is it that we speak out? And you know, during the strike, one of civil disobedience, one of the most powerful things for the media was that young woman from Burnaby who said, I am the BCTF. And I think that's the kind of ricochet effect people have to hear around the issues that we have brought up here. A group of us, a few of us, heard the dialogue, and we tried to say, where do we go from here? Because we do have a press conference at 10:30 tomorrow morning. We've kept very detailed notes, which we are going to send out to you. We have your email. We're also going to put the whole proceedings of today, including the panelists, on the web, so you can click on there and just keep watching that over and over again. And for the insomniacs, it might help to get you to sleep. I'm sure that the Premier can't wait. And there were a number of kind of themes that started to come through, and one of them was that we, as teachers, assert and take back our professional ground. Because when we get silenced or we get sidetracked, we give that power to others. And part of it is that we resist those initiatives that are educationally unsound and undamaging. Often, teachers, you know, many of us come into teaching because we do care, but we're the biggest fixers. We think we can fix anything. Something that is really bad, we try to fix it. But some things in education are just so bad and they do so much damage in the long term, we have to stand up and say no. Some of our class compositions are so terrible, we have to stand up and say no. Segregation of our students is absolute no from the teachers of this province. And we have to take those positions. And also we have to have discussions of teaching and learning and curriculum take place in every school and in every district. We know how enriching this has been for us. How do we replicate this back in our communities? How do we host, whether it's an evening session, after school session, whether it's like a book club, however we do it, how do we expand the circle And that's a challenge to you as well. And how do we have other voices join us in calling for a broad, liberal education? I don't mean capital L, small L, liberal election system, education system that educates the whole child. Right now we have a lot of contradictions. Literacy is our number one focus. So let's cut all the supports to the neediest kids in the province. And let's shut down our libraries. We have this thing about we're going to be the best educated province in the world. And I want to remind us that our funding is low. I know the dollar amount might be high, but compared to what a dollar can buy today, as a percentage of the gross domestic product of BC, our expenditures are actually down. And by the way, if we have an education system that ranks first, second, or third on a whole range of issues, why on earth are we so determined to dismantle it? And you know the answer. Why would we want an educated citizenry that asks questions, that questions the politicians? And that we ask the Ministry of Education to demonstrate its commitment to success for all students by providing adequate funding and the resources the professionals need in order to deliver that program. You know, we would never think of asking a surgeon to go in and do surgery, and on the way, let's see if you can get the tools, and if you can, while you're in there, can you just please compensate and do all of those things. So we would not dream of doing that. And yet we do that with teachers all the time. And once again, that says something about our professional expertise. And I think we have to keep asserting that voice. And also, let's focus on teaching and learning and keeping the joy of teaching and learning alive. And let's stop doing unnecessary bureaucratic pieces of filling out those papers. I get so tired of hearing teacher after teacher telling me they now actually don't get around to seeing students till November. These are special ed teachers because they're doing IEPs. Well, let the administrator do the IEPs. And let's call on administrators, if they are our educational leaders, let's have them join us. Our bargaining is over, folks. So we don't want them to speak up for our bargaining rights or our salaries, but surely as educators, as principals, they have to have some principles where they start saying class size and class composition is undoable in this province. So let's put the LE back in the principle. And that is just a summary of some of the things we heard and some of the recommendations we could see coming out of this. These will be worked on by a work group tomorrow morning. We will send them out to you, but we know that the media is going to be waiting for some kind of a feedback from us. So that's the kind of approach we're going to be taking with the media. What we're going to do is invite the Premier. We're going to give him all the material to engage with us in a dialogue that will benefit students. We want to build bridges, we want to build forward. We don't want to get into attacks or things, but we do want to say that the professionals in this province have a lot to say, Mr. Premier, and we want to share those concerns with you, and we will use every soapbox we can find, and we will build others to make sure our voice does get heard, and no amount of rhetoric or name-calling or implying intent is going to silence our voice. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for taking the time to represent your colleagues. And thank you for coming out and caring enough to take part in a dialogue that will help to move us forward. You guys are awesome, and I always say this. You as teachers do one of the most difficult jobs under incredibly difficult circumstances. You are my heroes, and you will continue to be so. Thank you so much. Now the roads are bad, so I do wish wish you a safe journey home. Those of you who are driving, those of you who are going to your hotels, have a safe journey. 7:30 tonight, CKNW, the Michael Smith Nightline. I'm going to be on there talking about the proceedings from today. And you know how Michael Smith goes. I urge you to phone in. And I would like to thank our staff, Mary McClure, for making sure that all of our needs are addressed, to Moira, to Mike, and to Larry for pulling this day together, and the rest of the staff for making it happen, and also to the SFU staff and the catering staff for making everything happen. A thank you to all our presenters for being so eloquent, and to, of course, Mike Zlotnick, who managed to make sense out of all our ramblings. So, and most of all, thank you to each and every one of you. Remember the rules of recycling your name tags? The thread goes inside, and if you haven't handed in your voucher, get that to us. Thank you so much.